ceremony, far more than something we do liturgically. But, oh God, this is an interchange with you, and we're just so grateful. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And all the people said, amen. Amen. What I want you to do now is give a Grace Christian Center welcome to our friends, Dan and Cassie and their children, and specifically to Pastor Dan Fitzgerald as he comes to bring the word of the Lord. Welcome, brother.
Thank you.
You bet, buddy.
Well, good morning. It really is a privilege to be here this morning. And honestly, it's intimidating. I told Pastor Kevin multiple times, I listened to his message from last week, and I went, now that's good preaching. I mean, it was outstanding, absolutely outstanding message. I listened to it, and I stopped, and I grabbed my senior pastor, Pastor Phil. I said, boy, he's preaching it up, and I don't know that I should get in the way of that. He's on a roll. So I think whatever is going to come next out of him is going to be a continuation of that. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I told my wife, I said, that man can preach. It was really good. And then I wanted to commend you too, because I'm listening to it off of your website and I hear him, but do you know who I also hear is I hear you guys. I hear all of this affirmation that you're giving him as he speaks. I'm hearing amens and that's right. And all this stuff coming from the congregation. And I went, woo! This isn't a room taking a nap, that's for sure. These people are here for the presence of God. So I want to commend your pastor for his excellent teaching. I want to commend you as a congregation for engaging the word of the Lord. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I owe to both Pastor Kevin and Pastor Sherry a really big debt of gratitude. I came to Pullman, Washington in 2000, some of their last time there in Pullman, leading the Church Living Faith Fellowship. And I was at a spot where the Lord had made me so hungry for the things of God that I used to memorize Sunday messages verbatim as they were spoken. And when Pastor Carl was speaking back in those days, there was a lot of words in those messages. But I was so hungry, I was just a sponge for the word of the Lord. Pastor Kevin met with me before I was water baptized. The work that he's done there continues to go on and on and on. And it's being perpetuated, not because it's a duty to do so, but because it's a privilege to do so. It was a work God started and continues to do this day. Pastor Sherry has taught me what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the first few words I ever heard from her was, as for me, I get as close to him as I can. And she also taught me, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I went, oh my goodness. I went home my junior year after having come up for a weekend there. And I remember sitting in my car in the backwoods, and I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit at church, and I wanted to know, can you speak in tongues when the moment is gone? So I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh, Lord, how do I even cultivate your presence again? And her words came to my mind, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I went, Lord, help me taste you. Lord, help me see you. And sure enough, the gift of speaking in tongues just started to roll out of me all over again. And the Lord ministered to me. And oh my goodness, I caught fire for the things of God. People didn't ask, you know, like, boy, you're different. They say, what happened to you in that season of my life? I can say I got to encounter God as the result of the fruit of the labor of those people right back there and Pastor Carl Barden as well. So to me, this is a very humble honor for me to get to stand here and speak with you today. And I've sought the Lord, and I believe he does have something he wants to say to you. It's a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation. We'll get there. Just a real privilege. My wife and I in Pullman, we have these four kids here. They're all growing up faster than I would like. We wear a few hats at the church in Pullman. We work with the young marrieds in our congregation. We also work with community outreach. And we also work with our small groups, our small group ministry there. And we've benefited from all those ministries. We just had a marriage seminar. We had 42 couples at it. And the theme of the seminar was these words, it's time. And so we asked them this question, what is it time for in your marriage? We said, what is it time for that is pressing? What has to happen right now? What in your marriage can't wait another moment? What is present, meaning what's there but doesn't necessarily have to happen right now? We also ask them, what is God preparing you for? What do you need to, what is preparatory? And then we also ask, what is prophetic? What would the Lord have you step into? And as we walked away from that time, the Lord said, that wasn't just for a marriage seminar. There's an urgency in my spirit, and I think it's for the church, and I think it's for this church to ask ourselves, what is it time for? It's time. It's time. It's time are like, they're laced words, right? Because whatever context you put them in affects those words. So if I say, if a 9-month pregnant woman says to her husband, it's time, right? That's a little different than a father looking at his kids and saying, it's time to go. Now, a father wishes his kids address that words in the same way you would in a need to go to the hospital, because it takes a long time sometimes for my children to go, okay, dad, and they get all their coats and all that kind of stuff. But the context in which you say the words, it's time, has a lot of meaning. I think those words are not just good for a marriage seminar. I think they're good in the spirit for God's church today. So today I want to go into Luke chapter 13. We'll go forward to Luke chapter 19 as well. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And I'm going to be in the New Living and also in the King James today. Really, this is a humble privilege. I have never stood in another church's pulpit before. So to me, I'm going to ask you for grace ahead of time. I'm not a professional speaker. I'm a person who loves Jesus Christ with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'll probably cry today. I'll probably mess some things up. But hopefully what you hear inside of me is just a genuine, sincere love of Jesus. Amen. He is my everything. Jesus tells this story about this man who has a garden. And in the garden, he plants this fig tree. And it says he goes to the fig tree often. He goes there to look to see if it's borne any fruit. And after 3 years of going to this fig tree, he finds himself disappointed again because it hasn't borne any fruit. So he says to his gardener, hey, just cut the thing down. Right? Like, have you guys planted a fruit tree, something you wanted to bear fruit? Plum, apple, whatever. Sometimes I plant crab apple trees because they look pretty, and then afterwards I go, there's a reason why they're called crab apples. Right? So he comes to this fig tree, and after 3 years of disappointment, it isn't bearing any fruit. So he says to his gardener, cut it down. As a matter of fact, the King James says, don't let it cumber the ground anymore. He says, cut it down. And I thought, boy, that's okay, 3 years. I understand he's given it some time. But I'm often shocked as Jesus, and he does this a lot. He does this whole illustration in Scripture of how he looks to vines, he looks to trees, he looks to things and their intended purpose, and if it isn't fulfilling that purpose, he's very strong in his desire for it. He's cursed trees before. He says, cut it off and throw it into the fire. He says, prune it. He says, cut it down. The gardener this time says, all right, but here, give it one more chance. Let me dig around it. Let me dig at its roots. Let me get down to where I can get nutrients to it. We're going to fertilize it, give it one more year. If it still isn't producing fruit, then we can cut it down. What I want to say about this is God is very intentional about our purpose. Excellent. As I looked at this, I thought, do you know what? This isn't so much about God being disappointed as much as it is about God having an intention for those things that he's created. God looked at a fig tree that wasn't fulfilling its purpose, and he said, this isn't right. I intended it to do this thing, and instead, it's not fulfilling its purpose. And I think he looks at our lives, he looks at all of creation, and he says this, and these are hopeful words, not negative words. He says, I made you on purpose. I created you for a task, for a reason, for a time. It's time then, in its season, to bear fruit. It's time for that to happen. It's his expectancy. I actually love the come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the follow to that is, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord absolutely has rest for us, but he has rest for us right in the midst of what he's called us to. So in the midst of doing the work that God has called us to, there's a peace and a rest in that. And I want to speak to that a little bit today. What really struck me is in chapter 13 of Luke, you have this story about this fig tree. And then you jump forward to Luke chapter 19, and you get into the story where Jesus walks into Jericho, right? And he walks into Jericho, and it's at this time in the ministry where you have kind of rock star Jesus happening, right? Where everyone's really interested in him. And this is one of my favorite stories to tell about Addison growing up as we get into this story. One day we're on our way to church when she was a little girl, and she looks at her mom, and she goes, "Mama?" And she goes, "Yeah, Addison." She goes, "Jesus doesn't like it when we climb trees." She goes, "Oh, why doesn't Jesus like it when we climb trees, Addison?" And she goes, "Well, because Zacchaeus was in a tree and Jesus looked at him. He said, 'Zacchaeus, you come down from there.'" That's where in scripture context matters an awful lot, right? So Jesus is headed into Jericho, and he's going to encounter Zacchaeus. And I want to sit on this story just a little bit today to set the scene for what I believe the Lord has put on my heart for this church this morning. And again, it's really a privilege to get to be here with you. So Jesus goes in, and you know this story well, and the crowd begins to gather, and this man named Zacchaeus, he's a chief tax collector. He's not just a tax collector, he's the tax collector boss. He's been made very rich at his occupation. He's professionally proficient. He's become good at what he does, and it's met his needs. And Jesus is coming into the town. And when he hears the name Jesus, something stirs inside of him. A man who has all his needs met, who has everything that he could possibly need, is finding that there's something stirring in him when he hears that Jesus is coming. And we all can relate to that, right? When we hear Jesus is coming, there's something inside of us that begins to stir. No matter what we have, no matter what we possess, no matter how proficient we are at our calling and our occupation, no matter what possessions or position we occupy, Jesus is coming and it begins to stir inside of us. And this is what happens to Zacchaeus. But he's got obstacles. He is a man of short stature, right? And so the crowd gathers and he wants to see Jesus. So he has a plan. He climbs up this sycamore tree and gets up into it because his plan is Jesus is going to pass by and that's how he'll be able to see him. Well, Jesus passes by this tree and he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus in there. He says, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there because it's not right to climb trees." I've always been struck by this, and this is what the Lord spoke to me recently. He's the God of all creation. He knew Zacchaeus' name without ever being told who Zacchaeus was. But I don't know about you, but do you look up into every tree you pass by? Like, and just in case a squirrel is going to drop something on you, you want to be ready. I don't look up into every tree I pass by. This sycamore tree, depending on the translation you read, it will tell you this. It was a sycamore fig tree. And Jesus, almost every time in Scripture you see him passing a fig tree, he stops by and he looks into the fig tree to see if that tree is bearing any fruit. Because God is interested in us fulfilling his intention for his creation. God wants his creation to fulfill its intended purpose. So he looks up into the fig tree and he sees this tree has borne an unusual fruit. Poor Zacchaeus. I guess today he gets to be a fruit. He sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. Says, "Zacchaeus, come down from there. I need to go to your house today. With urgency." So Zacchaeus quickly comes down. Jesus goes to his house. They have this meal. The scoffers scoff. "Oh, Jesus, you're going to eat with that sinner." Zacchaeus is an outcast. Zacchaeus is a Jewish man working for the Romans who occupy their land and working in the most heinous kind of way. He's taking their livelihood in order to support something that the Jewish people don't even want around. He's a despised man. But that doesn't bother Jesus. Jesus saw good fruit in Zacchaeus, and that changed the way Jesus chose to interact with this man. He could not just pass him by. He said, "I need to go to your house today." So the scoffers scoff. Jesus isn't bothered, but it bothers Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus says this. He said, "Half of everything I have, I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've wronged anyone in their taxes, if I've cheated anyone in their taxes, hallelujah, no one wants to be cheated in their taxes. It's tax season, right? Well, I want a good refund. Jesus, Zacchaeus says, I'll repay it fourfold. And the Lord sees a heart change in Zacchaeus, and so he says, salvation has come to this house today, for this is a true son of Abraham, right? And Abraham in the Bible speaks of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. So what Jesus is saying is what he sees in Zacchaeus is a man of faith, a man who's having this Genesis moment in his heart. Excellent. That when he hears the name Jesus, he's compelled to change where he's at, to see him. He invites him close into his home, and then his heart responds to him in obedient action. And I love that. As a matter of fact, when Jesus comes under the tree, he uses this word in the King James Version of the Bible. He looks into the tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry, come down from there, for I must abide at your house today. Yes, not just go, I must abide at your house today. And that reminds me of the scripture that says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, right? Do you guys remember how it goes? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it will be done unto you, right? Hallelujah. There's this sense of abiding that's so important there. Jesus says, I want to abide. As Cass and I were doing this marriage seminar, we were talking about it's time, and I was thinking about how in familiarity with relationship with my wonderful wife, we've been married 11 years. Oh, jeez. That was a really scary moment. I knew we'd celebrated 10, but I wasn't sure where we were at. Pastor Kevin and I both would have been in trouble today. 11 years. She calls me for dinner, so I'll be downstairs. I could be doing something productive, or I could be doing something totally, we'll call it restful today, but it's probably lazy. I'm resting, because that seems to be a theme in the room this morning. We're recuperating. And she says, it's time for dinner. And my mind goes, I really like dinner. Dinner's a great thing. I enjoy dinner, right? I also am involved in what I'm doing now, right? So everything has a progress. It goes A, B, C, right? So she calls me on B. My hope is I can wrap it up to C and then get to dinner. It's not that I don't want dinner. It's just that I'm in the middle of something, and so I want to respond when it's convenient for me to respond. I also think this. I have 4 children. They're great. They're generally very obedient children, but they obey a little bit slow. So I think it's going to take them about 5 minutes. So for me, it's not really time for dinner. It'll be time for dinner in 5 minutes. I have this all strategized. I don't know if any of you guys think the same way, but I'm excited about it. I like dinner, but I'm going, okay, I have this. Or it's time for dinner when she calls 2 more times, and that third time, so 1, 2, 3, she's really adamant about it, then it's time for dinner. And Cassie at the marriage seminar goes, that's the short track to no longer getting dinner. As a matter of fact, she goes, I don't even cook when you're not here. When you travel and you're out of town, the kids and I, we just eat cereal. That's a, she goes, so we don't even mind. We'll just go without you, you know. Like, I don't have to do this anymore. If it really doesn't matter to you, we'll just stop this whole thing. Because what happens, in reality, what happens is she says, it's time, and the kids come to the table. I'm still not there yet. She says, it's time for dinner. We're all at the table, right? She's adding more information to give me context because, like we said, it's time and it's context carries more meaning, right? And then she goes, I'm still not there. She goes, it's time. The kids are at the table. The food's getting cold and we're starting without you, right? And that's usually right around I show up. And this is what the Lord put on my heart. We're in danger of losing things because we become familiar with them. When we first got married and my wife would say, it's time for dinner. Okay, I was used to eating microwavable pizzas. I can't eat chili out of a can anymore because I literally have a visceral reaction to that taste because I've had so much of it. I had very lazy food. So when my wife, when we first got married, would say, it's time for dinner, in the closeness of this brand new relationship, I don't even know if she had to call me to the table. I was already there for what she was going to do. And the same thing happens in our relationship with the Lord. When this all first happens and the Lord calls us to his table, and the table is very meaningful in Scripture. It speaks of relationship, and it speaks of intimacy, and it speaks of closeness. When the Lord calls us to his table, oh God, it's about closeness. It's about intimacy. It's an invitation that very few people hear and really respond to. And we have the privilege of being in that kind of relationship with the Lord. But over time, familiarity creates an indifference to the call. And we run the risk of losing things that we once had, because it would be easier for her to just pour everybody a bowl of cereal, right? And the question I had is this, is are we aware of the things we no longer have because we've stopped responding to the Lord's prompting, to his leading? In Luke 19:5, we've got this story. This Jesus says, I must abide in your house. He's inviting us to his table. So I have three things I want to just touch on. I think if we're going to abide in him, then it's like Zacchaeus climbing a tree. And I'll tell you how just real quickly on these. Mark Batterson, how many of you have read a Mark Batterson book? He, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, The Circle Maker, all kind. Yeah, they're all fantastic books. He's an amazing man. He says this. He says, a change of pace plus a change of place equals a change of perspective. A change of pace plus a change of place equals a change of perspective. And I was thinking about Pastor Kevin's message about a heart condition and how an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor, can tell a lot about the heart by looking at the eyes, right? So then it stands to reason what the eyes look upon have an awful lot to do with the condition of our heart. See, Zacchaeus, I love this. He's so busy with his profession that he's even become an outcast amongst his own people. He's proficient. He's professional. He's got position. He's good at all this stuff, but there's still something missing inside of him. And so when he hears the name Jesus, hi guys, bye. I preached him right out of the room. He goes, there's something in him that catches urgency, and he recognizes that the place that he's in is no longer the place he needs to be. The place that he's in is encumbered by the crowd around him. And we find ourselves very often there. And I think I heard that in the response today to what the Lord was doing, is that in times in life, our lives get busy and crowded with the things of this world, the things that clamor for our attention. And what eventually happens is we find ourselves sometimes out of place to see Jesus. And that's what Zacchaeus wanted to do. In the midst of a crowd, in the midst of what he'd positioned himself in, he found himself lacking and he wanted to see Jesus. And so he did this, a change of pace plus a change of place equals a change of perspective. And anytime our heart does this, it bears the first fruits of a love relationship with Jesus Christ. It's going to go up, just like Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus went up a tree because he needed to see Jesus. In Revelation chapter 2, it talks about the church of Ephesus. And it's done so many things excellently, but it says you've lost your first love. And it says, so do again the works, right, of that first relationship. And I think to abide in him, we must climb a tree. Meaning the first fruits of it is this, is there must be a desperation in our heart to see Jesus. And this is really Pastor Sherry, this is her life's message. Is she will move heaven and earth to see Jesus. There has to be a desperation in our heart to see Jesus. In our ministry, we often work with couples who are struggling in their marriage because one or the other or both is struggling with addiction. And the answer to addiction is a lot of support. It's a lot of effort. There's methods and applications and ways you go about coming out of addiction. But the simple reality is just like the answer to political problems is not Republican or Democrat, it's Jesus.
That's right.
It's Jesus. Because it takes an awful lot of effort to change someone's opinion. And what have you gained? But if you can change the soul of someone, if you can change someone's eternity with Jesus, then he can do the work that changes all the rest.
That's right.
So we have to look to Jesus. And that's what Zacchaeus did. He climbed a tree and he got to a place where he could see Jesus. Abiding in Jesus means looking to him above all else as our source of life. No crowd, no job, no amount of possessions, no amount of acclaim, no amount of disdain, no amount of any of those things. You see, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. He's a man of influence. He's a man who possessed many things. And when he heard the name Jesus, he knew he must get himself into a position where he could see Jesus. Zacchaeus climbing that tree was positioning himself to forsake other sources of satisfaction and to turn to Jesus to see him as his only source of satisfaction. The next one is, it's time to host. So Jesus sees Zacchaeus and he says, I must abide in your house today. So if you abide in me, if you climb up that tree, if you get to a place where you're going, I must see Jesus, then Jesus says, now it's time for my word to abide with you. Remember, Jesus in John says, it says this of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. That is Jesus. So when Jesus says to Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today, he's saying, my Word is going to come and abide with you. The Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, was going to his house today. And remember, we talked about the scoffer scoff. They say, he's a sinner. And I wonder, what makes us worthy to host Jesus, the presence of God? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What makes us worthy? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus isn't concerned about others' objections. Instead, and I love this, what caused Jesus to be so drawn to Zacchaeus? He looked into a fig tree that just a few chapters earlier he'd used as an illustration for disappointment, and he says to him, it's not bearing any fruit, cut it down. But here in 19, he looks into a fig tree and he says, it's full of fruit. There's Zacchaeus, a man who heard Jesus and responded to him, who changed his place, changed his position, and now he's got a changed perspective, and he's looking to Jesus, and he's going to go after him. And the Lord sees that heart condition, and he says, I don't care what the scoffers say. I don't care what anybody else says. I've marked Zacchaeus as my man, and I'm going to abide with him. Right? I'm so grateful to the Lord that when he looked at my life and all the hypocrisy and all the failures and all the sin, all the ways that I had slandered him, that when he finally called my name and I started responding to him, he didn't listen to the scoffers or the naysayers, but Jesus came in his perfect security as the God of all creation and moved into my life and said, I'm going to abide with you. Thank God for a Savior who's ultimately secure. He's drawn to the fruit of a first love relationship with him. Zacchaeus says, in response then, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, and if I've cheated, I will restore fourfold. So then the first fruits of a love relationship with Jesus Christ, what the church in Ephesus needed to restore, was a determination to look to Jesus. When Jesus came into Jericho, Zacchaeus determined to look to him. It says, the first fruits, second are a need to have him close. Zacchaeus needed Jesus close, and Jesus needed Zacchaeus close. And then a heart that takes obedient action. And the last is this, and I'll wrap this up, is it's time to take your place. And this is really what is on my heart for you as a church. As I prayed, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, this is a congregation and this is a people who have sought me. That there's been a lot that you've gone through, many, many things, but the first fruits of a love relationship with Jesus Christ are present and evident. It's there. What I hear the report from your pastors is that we have a congregation that's ready for whatever the Lord wants to do. They've sought him and they've positioned themselves to be ready to say yes, Lord, to his leading and his prompting. That's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. So it's time to climb a tree. It's time to host the presence of the Lord.
That's the basics of what is absolutely necessary for a love relationship with Jesus that's sourced in the first fruits. But then from there, it's time to take your place. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Right? Our work, our effort, our job is to abide. It's to abide. And Pastor Sherry has taught, I still use the form and the method she taught me years and years ago, that when I go and sit with the presence of the Lord, I go in and I do this my time with Jesus form. And it's work. And a million distractions come my way. And the devil wants that time. He wants to distract me and pull me away from that. My job is to abide in him and to allow his words to abide in me. I need to come to the Lord's table when he says it's dinner time. I need straightway obedience to drop whatever it is. And I need to come to his place and say, Lord, you have all my attention. You have all my heart. You have all my adoration. You have all my praise. Would you speak to me today that I could answer and say, I have bread you know not of, to people who are looking for satisfaction in this world, but have none like Zacchaeus had. And then God's work is to do. God's work is to do. And I believe this is his promise to you. And this is the message of grace. And it follows exactly in line with, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How is it possible to look into a tree whose intended purpose is to bear fruit and have Jesus be so disappointed by it that he says, cut it down. Stop burdening the earth with its existence. Is that the God who gives us rest? And you seem to feel like these things are in tension. And I've read this and I've read this and I've read this. And the Lord said to me just so plainly, he goes, it's because I will not give up on my purposes for my people. I won't compromise than anything less than their destiny, than their intended purpose being fulfilled. But it isn't a heavy burden. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Our work is to get to the table with the Lord. Our work is to come to the feast that he's provided. Our works are to climb the tree. I just need to see Jesus. Our works are to host him in the home of our hearts, in the intimate place of our being. Excellent. And then he says this, I'm so pleased with you. I am so abundantly wealthy and so abundantly rich. Would you just ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. It will be done unto you. I believe it's a time, and these two words are important, of reclaiming and restoring. It's time to restore intimacy with Jesus, because a restored intimacy with Jesus is the first fruits of a love relationship with him. And it's time to reclaim position and authority. What position? Position as sons and daughters of the king, co-heirs, inheritors of his kingdom with him, and the authority to ask what we will, and it will be done unto you. So as we ask this question that we asked at a marriage seminar a weekend ago, I feel like it's for you, and that's to ask, what is it time for? What is it time to ask God for? And I think if I could put it another way, I'd say this to this church is, you've pleased God. You have pleased the Lord. Stephen and Tiffany are here because when they walked in, I heard this morning, they found a group of people who wanted to cultivate the presence of the Lord together, who wanted to share in the genuine and authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. They found it and are bearing witness to it with their presence. And the Lord spoke it to me and said, these people are bearing much fruit. He didn't look into this fig tree and say, I've been disappointed. Instead, he looked into this fig tree, and said, I see much fruit. And it's pleased the heart of your God. And so his question for you today is a joyful question. What is it time for? Your Heavenly Father, who's abundantly rich, wants you to ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. It is time to rest. It's time to rest at his table because you've pressed into his presence. And now he's saying, what can I do for you? Ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. That is a wonderful promise from God. I got to tell you, it is a real privilege to come to a congregation and not feel a sense of, uh-oh, these people really need some help. Instead, in my spirit, and confirm with the Olivitos in their presence here, Pastor Sherry would say, it's yummy, is what she'd say. I know you are diligent in the Word of God as a congregation. And I felt this burden to bring something so meaty and so well studied out. But I couldn't get past this very simple thing. And that's that the Lord is very pleased with you. And he wants to hear your request. There's a sense of urgency about it. Where the Lord goes, it's time. It's time to let your request be known. Because he's found in you a people whose will is aligned with his will. A people who have made his purposes your purposes. And he's ready to answer your prayers. He's ready to hear your heart. And that's my word of encouragement for you this morning. Thank you so much for being a congregation quick and ready to respond to the leading of the Lord. For bearing much fruit. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing before the Lord. Pastor Kev, I don't know if you have a response that you want from the congregation. I only have an encouragement for you, and it's that. You're like Zacchaeus, up in a tree, excited to see Jesus and whatever he has for you. And he's ready to answer your prayers. Thank you very much. It really has been a privilege to come and fellowship with you today.
Amen. Beautiful.
This may be the first other pulpit besides what you've preached in at home. It certainly won't be the last, Pastor Dan. What a wonderful couple. We have enjoyed our fellowship with him richly in these last couple of nights. So you say, if somebody says to you this morning, once you get home or wherever you go, well, what'd you hear about at church? Well, they told me I was up a tree. What you've done is you've positioned yourself today. As Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus, you got out of your home into the cold morning, climbed into your car, and drove a distance to come to the house of God because you wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus sees you face to face today. And he says, it's time for me to abide in your house today. I, for one, count it a joy and privilege to have been here with him and with you. Great message, buddy. So what is it that you need Jesus to do for you? What is it that you're asking the Lord to do with you, in you, to you, through you? It's time. It's a new day. We've spoken these last couple of days, and you hear us talk about it. I am so burdened and so believing God for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. I am believing God for a fresh wind to blow and a fresh day to come, and for God to move in remarkable revival. But each of us are here this morning with an issue of need, of desire, of hunger. And Jesus is looking specifically at you and saying, I've come to abide in you today. Stand with me, would you? If you have not given your life personally to this Jesus, to our precious Lord and Savior that we've been worshiping and talking about this morning. Today is your day. There'll be people here to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, there'll be people here to pray for you. But what I would like for you to do right now is to raise your hands before the Lord and just say with me, Lord Jesus, I receive you to come and abide in my home. Lord Jesus, you see every need. And I receive you in a fresh way today. I know you're here. And I know you've got my next step. And I receive that next step by faith. I receive your cleansing blood, your grace, your power, your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, for seeing me when I was up a tree. Bless each one who's here this day. Musicians, will you come? Thanks, Lord, for being so good and so great. We're going to complete and finish this morning with His grace is enough, because that's what He's doing. His grace is enough for us. As we go from this place, we're going to go in the spirit of joy because He's been here with us. And we take Him out. Some of you, you know, oh, Pastor Sherry, did you have something you want to say? And there's birthday cake afterwards. And I thank you for coming all the way up front to remind me of that.
Pastor Kevin, there is something.
Yes, Donna.
He's been bugging me. I need to share this.
Okay.
I thank you, young man, for your great message. And what he showed me was, as every member of this congregation, he is asking to get off the tree and get into his bus. He showed me this big bus that as he is traveling the road, he is picking up people off the tree.
Amen. Very good. Very good. Well, how many are glad you came to church today?
Amen.
You'll go out with joy, be led forth with peace, and God is doing great things. I expect to hear wonderful testimonies about what the Lord's done from you today. And as we fulfill the next steps of the destiny He has for you, thank you for being here. Let's, excuse me, your power, your love, and your mercy. And as we've received the word engrafted into our spirits today, we respond to you. We don't just listen to a message, we respond to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've created us for a purpose, for a destiny. And we want you abiding in our house, and we will take action on those things you've shown us. And we give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. If you're a guest and visitor with us, we thank you for coming. We thank you all for being here. You shall go out with joy. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Be released.